Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. And this is the annual or semi-annual or whenever we feel like doing it. Holiday fun, the drive. Yeah, this is the time to joke around, a little bit of a roasting energy, talking about some topics with some serious insights thrown in, stuff that I thought about for like 2 minutes, and then I just turned on the recorder, and here we are doing the fun duh drive. So All Book Books is a little over 14 years now, cranking out some books, occasionally some craft items, haiku calendars, helping people write and publish and edit, and I also publish my own writings, poems and essays, and those merged into a new kind of form, or not totally new, but for me very new, with my recent book Musings with the Golden Sparrow. A lot of my essays and poems are online at accessoflogic.com, where I'm the resident poet and a essay contributor, and a lot of that stuff is freebies. It's freebies with the heartfelt love and creativity. So, hey, that's why one reason to go on my site, and there's a donate button. You can throw a few bucks into the fun to drive. This is your host, Monk. Thanks for listening and hopefully laughing. Okay, it's the annual, or actually I think we skipped last year, so that makes it semi-annual fun duh drive, where, you know, we like to let loose a little bit. I have to make the disclaimer. All Book Books, you know, part of the tagline is to publish works that encourage one world consciousness and respect for all traditions. So this fun drive is a way to let loose and to do things a little differently, so all the jokes and whatevers are totally meant as just that, as jokes and fun, and with no disrespect. So, as they say in New Agey circles, don't take it personally. And speaking of New Agey circles, let's see, we're going to start with this this idea that these products, and you find a lot of them in New Agey stuff, but one example is the Kia car, which is called the Soul. Now, I don't know, but it just seems like it just, I find it offensive. No offense to people driving if you have that car, but to name a product after something very spiritual or religious or mystical is, it just seems cheap. And I mean, to think about it another way, would you buy a product, say a Native focused product for Sweat Lodge underarm deodorant? All right, thanks. Thanks so much. Another one. I mean, you know, you think about, well, Jewish people sometimes have a reputation of being kind of uptight. So here's a product to help Jewish people relax. And the sales pitch would be a Jamaican guy, or like a Jamaican Jewish product. And the product would be the Yaman Yarmulke. Maybe, you know, actually some similarity. The Jewish people, there's Yahweh, and then the Rastas are always talking about Jah. So, you know, my point is, you get my point. These products are offensive. Speaking of cars, again, some of the names of cars. Now, if we took that same thing, we have the offensive named after Native peoples, which like the Dakota and the Cherokee. I think it's Cherokee Jeep. And these are quite offensive for many reasons, just, you know, the whole cultural pavement implications, the whole colonial oil rip-off genocidal implications. But, you know, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Now, would you name a car the Super Jew? I don't think so. And then for stupid people, the Honda. And then you've got, well, we've already got the Christian people. It was pretty close with Chrysler. But, you know, if they wanted to go the whole nine yards, it'd be Chrysler. So, then taking it to another level, we have the military uses. Again, very insulting to call military weaponry and helicopters and fighter jets and stuff the Apache. And the offensive to the Greek mythology and Kabbalah, the Hermes, all these military, mythological, some sacred names used for nasty purposes. So that's important to comment on. Dan, speaking of products, when you think about some of the products that over the years, I remember from years ago, when you look back and think, how the heck did they sell that one? I've got the Pet Rock. I mean, if I came to you with that idea, you would laugh me out of the room. And then the other one for a cartoon, SpongeBob. I mean, if I came to you and said, yeah, I got this idea for this thing to use in the kitchen and in the bathroom, and we're going to make it's going to be the most popular kids cartoon, you know, that would be crazy. And I gotta say too, I mean, the other thing about doing Between the Lines is that I do it out of enjoyment. I do it out of this sort of urgent necessity. It's typically unrehearsed, typically not very many notes. It's very much stream of consciousness with a few notes and a few ideas, and it keeps me off the streets is part of the reason. Well, actually, because I live in suburbia, it keeps me out of the mall. Now, I had to get that name. It's like when you go shopping, does that mean these dogs come chasing you? But anyway, another thing I think about, yeah, different cultures. Like I wonder about, you know, I'm not that familiar with the Muslim poetry scene, but I would think they get into the sort of hip hop and the competition poetry. I think they call it Islam poetry. And another tradition, thing we hear about, the Zen tradition, but there's this word that's kind of been hijacked, or sort of it's overused. This mindfulness, mindfulness. Everything's mindfulness, and you know, this and that. I mean, it has its place, but I think honestly, there's a place for mindlessness, and not thinking so much, which is really the true meaning of meditation, is to not think and to allow other stuff to come into your mind, into your vision, into your energy ways. And so there's a balance. I think you need to have a balance of mindlessness and mindfulness, because, you know, the word implies full. How much can you be, how much can you walk around full? And full of what? I mean, some of these people, you know, are mindful of it. They think they know a lot. So I think, again, a balance between mindlessness. And I think about, I think better word would be mindness. Just, you know, mindness. Leave it open to, open to interpretation. Now, you think about metaphysics and holistic, we have the chakras. So already we have the mindness is one that is of the mind. And then, down below we have the penis. All right, thanks. Thank you. Look at these energy centers, and they all kind of work towards betterment of understanding of what's going on in the world. No, so I meant that seriously. I really meant that. I hope this stuff has some improvement. I think it's good to laugh. It's good to have some truth in with the laughter. By the way, I'll add a little pitch in for the colorized version of Dick Van Dyke was shown on TV recently, and what was amazing to me was it was from 1963 and it was still very funny. I laughed out loud a few times, and I spoke with a friend, Bill Persky, who's one of the original writers of the show. And he said that the difference between then and now with a lot of comedy is that was truly situational comedy, and it wasn't built on jokes. It was built on situations and real people hanging out together talking. So the situation brought out the joke rather than the show, the show being a format for the joke. So I think that's a good thing to remember. In comedy and the real laughter. There's so much comedy that nowadays is sort of edgy, and some of it's funny. Some of it I don't find that funny. Maybe the Big Bang Theory TV show, some people don't like it. It's a bit sexist, I agree, but the fact is it makes me laugh, and it makes me laugh a lot. I watch the reruns over and over, and I still laugh. So it's my current favorite comedy show because, as they say, it's comedy when it makes you laugh. And when I was comparing that with the Dick Van Dyke example, it is very much situational comedy. You have the characters, and out of the characters often come the jokes and within the situation. And another master of that, probably the master, is P.G. Wodehouse, who, if you read his stories, especially the Jeeves and Wooster, you will find a blueprint. I haven't studied it, but I think you'll find a blueprint for virtually any comedy, situation comedy done ever. But still, no offense to anyone, my favorite sitcom throughout the ages was Get Smart, just because of the shtick and the jokes, and it's just funny. That's my little spiel on situation comedy. Now, let's see. Since we're not doing PC stuff, I found this thing online here. It's called Donald Trump with a Laugh Track. So let's give it a whirl.
So he said he has pathological disease. Now, if you're pathological, there's no cure for that, folks. Okay? There's no cure for that. But if you're a child molester, there's no cure. They can't stop him. Pathological, there's no cure. No. He said he was pathological. Okay. He took a knife, and he went after a friend, and he lunged that knife into the stomach of his friend, but lo and behold, it hit the belt. It hit the belt. And the knife broke. How stupid are the people of Iowa? How stupid are the people of the country? So here's the good news. He's now saying all of that stuff happened, because otherwise he's a liar. So Carson, the knife broke.
Well, that's about all I can take. There's another minute of that, but honestly, that was very insightful, because it showed me. I mean, I noticed this on the campaign trail. You have this guy who's he's a buffoon. I mean, he I do. There are some things he says that I do like or agree with. I don't want to get into all that. But his basic persona and his presentation is just, you know, is this buffoon. And it is, it's like a testament to the, not the reality show, competition shows. So all this is kind of buffoonery, which is exemplary of these, stardom, last man standing kind of show psychology. It's strange that it appeals to the, it kind of makes sense that it appeals to the masses in a way, or a percentage of the masses. Journalist Pepe Escobar was talking about the Trump phenomena on an interview with RT News, and he was calling him, I would put it in quotes, a master of communication, meaning that kind of picked up where Obama left off with using the social media as far as sort of like an ad campaign, which is part of how Obama got elected. But Trump took it to another level and went out and visited people and talked to them as if, you know, on this chummy personal level, and tweeted and Facebook and all that stuff. So Escobar was saying, by communicating even at maybe a seventh grade level, he's appealing to the average worker at a store who, you know, opens his looks at his gadget and sees some kind of message from Trump. And so there's this sort of strange phenomenon of how elections are happening with this social media. It's like a reality show, social media, propaganda, star-studded, you know, You Too Can Be a Star show. So this is what the politics has become in America. Thinking of the recent presidents, now if you people like to compare, but I just see it as it's like the salesman who's the front man, and the faces change, but the bullshit remains the same with some differences. But people keep pointing the finger at the front man, and I think we really need to look behind that to the system itself. And there's more consciousness with that, I think, waking up with the especially because of Standing Rock and the environmental concerns, caring for Mother Earth on the East Coast, Hudson River, you know, stopping the Spectra pipeline, and the Kinder Morgan in Canada. There's all these things that are bringing people out. Part of the backlash of Trump being elected there was even an interfaith gathering in my town at a mosque, so that's pretty fascinating. And more women are speaking out. They're also stocking up on birth control, from what I've heard. But so you have these side effects to Trump, which is galvanizing the kind of movements in a way. Well, that all remains to be seen, and how much there's been reported these coups within coups with Trump, whereas actually the CIA is spawning a coup to overthrow Trump. And so who knows, but we will see as it plays out. But the point is, again, this identity politics, this individualism, this rugged individualism and egotism, which is in a way one of the bedrocks of American exceptionalism. We need to look beyond that stuff, and we need to look to the issues and the systems, and then, you know, of course, say from the native perspective and the mystical perspective, to the essences of the energies of nature and the beings and the spirits. And that is where their true power is, the power of connecting with people. So the social media can be used for good cause. Just to kind of wrap up, let's see, we get to speaking about the veneer. Now, we thinking about the last few presidents, there was Bush, who was, you know, this sort of hillbilly, barely literate guy, and that had its sort of chummy appeal to a lot of people. And then we went from that to the smooth, slick talking, rhetorical Obama, who, you know, when I first heard him, and I actually heard the words he was saying, and I found it I found it to be just hot air, you know, like he wasn't really saying anything. It was political speak, you know, we need to move forward and, you know, we need to live up to our ideals and we need to take care of our children for the future and all these phrases that, you know, especially the children one is nice, but they weren't backed up with anything. So it's just, to me, it was hot air rhetoric. And now this evolution has gone to this kind of bombastic the Donald, who I admit, in a way, I find it more entertaining, but it's a sad, it truly is a sad form of entertainment, and especially when it deals with, you know, potentially serious geopolitical issues. I am, too, remembering there was one time on the campaign trail where they showed Trump making fun of some news reporter who was, I don't know if he was paraplegic or had some disability, so... You know, amidst all the interesting things he has to say, and on the positive side, he seems to be more business oriented in a sense that there would be less of a bent for war. So, I mean, in the whole perspective, there is that positive side to Trump that I see, plus the which has also been cited as the reason for the possible coup, that he's not following the script of the military-industrial complex. So all this stuff remains to be seen. But I think also to keep in mind, he does have that bombastic and insulting nature. So we'll see what happens. So there's a bunch of books online. There's a few of the calendars, 2017 haiku calendars left. You're welcome to make a donation online. And there's lots of books. Some of them are on the website. You can email me. Look at the website, allbook-books.com. A-L-L-B as in boy, O-O-K, hyphen B-O-O-K-S.com. Allbook-books.com. And you can find out about my publishing services. I help people self-publish because publishing is challenging with distribution. And sometimes people, you know, just they want to publish a particular book that is mostly going to friends and family. Or it may be on a topic that doesn't quite fit my the publishing theme of all books. So the self-publishing mode is a way for me to help sort of do things in a little bit more casual for me, because then I don't have all the responsibilities of being the publisher. And since I don't have a whole lot of distribution at this time, it is challenging to be a publisher. So the self-publishing also allows the freedom of the author to do whatever the heck they want. I give my advice, but they make the final decisions. So it works nicely that way. So you can talk to me more about that. And yeah, have a good holidays. Happy solstice, happy Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate in the Taoist way every day. Every day is a holiday, and we connect with nature and see where the cycles of evolution are evolving to. And that helps me stay sane amidst the holiday hustle bustle and presumably connecting with people, and the cheer is what the season is truly about. So we'll go out with some sitcom laugh tracks. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.